Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It is Maggie and Perloff. Hope wherever you are, you're having a fantastic Thursday. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So easy to get in touch with the show. And of course, you can tweet to us as well, at Maggie and Perl, P-E-R-L, at Maggie Gray, at Andrew Perloff. And you know, we weren't planning on doing this, but this is what today has become. Today's the last day where you can determine who's to blame for the end of the Cowboys 49ers game. That's it. Today's the day.
Who are some of the choices?
The choices are as follows. You can blame Mike McCarthy. You can blame Kellen Moore. You can blame unknown referee, not sure his name.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Who came running into the play. You can blame Dak Prescott. And I kind of want to say you could blame Jerry Jones, but I'm not really sure how that would apply. But if you want to go next level, you could go Jerry. You could also blame the stadium if you wanted to, because that got a fair amount of blame from that game.
The stadium screwed up big time in the loss. To me, I'm a team player, and I feel like it was a team failure.
That's not an option.
That's such a wimp out, isn't it?
And that we're not doing D all of the above here. This is just, you got to blame somebody. Partially because we got to put this story to bed, everyone. We've got divisional round playoff games coming up this weekend. And, you know, we need closure. It's like a relationship. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Steve's in Raleigh. Steve, it's the final day to assign blame. Who do you got?
I don't know, Maggie. You're totally right. They were just, like, cursed because I've been a fan of the Cowboys since I was a kid. I grew up with, you know, Walt Garrison, Calvin Hill, you know, when the triplets were there.
Yep.
They were awesome, and they were, you know, totally, nobody had a question. They were awesome. But now, this year, if Dak hadn't had, if he had audibled, somebody on the line would have moved.
Yep.
And they would, you know, it would have ended like that.
It was that kind of day.
It just never felt right.
It never felt right. They never got it going. Steve, good call. And It almost did feel like it was doomed. Although, at the same time, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat wondering if they were going to get the ball snapped and spiked to get a final Hail Mary.
Yeah, the funny thing, too, is we're talking about a final Hail Mary. It's not like
it wasn't a true Hail Mary.
But it's not like the odds were great that they were going to score a touchdown play there. Everyone's like, they lost the game because they messed up the spike. People almost forget they were down 6 points and needed a touchdown.
Steven is in Texas. Hi, Steven. How are you? Who are you blaming today?
Jones.
See, I wasn't sure if I should put Jerry in the multiple choice, but you're saying Jerry. Why?
Because you can go back as far as Romo and the butt snap, and it's the same leadership hierarchy that's in place.
Yeah.
You can't blame the coach. You can't blame the quarterback because Peyton Manning, Tom Brady do not have these kind of situations happen because they prepare for every potential prospect.
Yeah.
And Jones does not allow his, you know, that's how come quality coaches, Bill Parcells, Jason Garrett was a joke, and only because he was a yes man, as long as he stayed there, because Jones does not allow the coaches to be the best. The perfect example is the fact that when he first bought the Cowboys and put Jimmy Johnson in charge,
we're going back.
They were on top of the world.
Well, eventually, right? It took a season, and then yes, they were out. Steven, so that was like the Cowboys' history there. It's deep rooted. I get it. It's about a play, but it's like about more than that.
But there's always a play. There's Tony Romo fumbling the extra point there. It's a Dez Bryant catch, no catch. He does have a good point. There seems to be a pattern under Jones. And I don't know about this calling him Jones instead of Jerry. Everyone's like, you say
it
Jones.
It took you off guard. You're like, who?
Yeah. It's calling him Jones. I mean, that guy.
Okay. Talk about calling off guard. When you first heard the caller say this, what did you think he said? What was that?
Butch snap?
Let's play it again.
Butt snap?
I thought it's botched snap.
Yeah.
Can you play it one more time? I thought he said butt snap. And I was like, someone's prank calling us.
No. That dude was legitimately from Lufkin, Texas. Have I ever heard Lufkin, Texas?
No, but he had the bona fides. He had the credentials here. He had all the receipts, too, of all the ways that the Cowboys had disappointed him in the past.
It's all Jones.
You know? It's all Jones. It's interesting. Daryl is in Virginia. Daryl, today is the final day where you can determine who you want to blame for the butt snap of the the botch play at the end of the Dallas 49ers
butt
game.
Butt fumble territory here.
Yeah, no, butt fumble. That belongs to the Jets and no one
Dak.
Else. How you doing?
Dak is the blame. He should have slid earlier, and he should have got the ball to the official.
I'm Dak. With Daryl.
Yeah.
Short, succinct, to the point, and correct. Daryl's got it right here. He's the one, and that's where I put the blame to. I think that this one was on Dak. Now, listen, I'm no big fan of Mike McCarthy either. And I think that McCarthy is almost like, you know, it's insane to me that he's not even more on the hot seat, because I think you saw last year and this year what you're going to get with Mike McCarthy. What do you think's changing about him? You know, nothing, right? This is a guy who basically said he took a year off to go to, like, football boot camp. And it turns out, like, we don't even know if that was, like, all true or whatever. What was true and what wasn't true? Because he already admitted he said a lot to get a job.
Yeah, but you could paint the narrative this way. The team showed incredible improvement this year under Mike McCarthy. And they just happened to run into a red-hot opponent that scared everybody, that was built to beat a team like the Dallas Cowboys. Like, the Niners, as everyone said, was a nightmare matchup. It's not like they lost to a bad team, and it was a close game.
No, I get that, but you're talking about the first year McCarthy was in Dallas. He didn't even have his quarterback. And, like, you know, is your boy Andy Dalton there, and they looked really bad.
And now he took a huge step forward, and I think you're excited if you're a Cowboys fan. You don't think people are going to pick the Cowboys to win this division? Of course they're going to win it again.
Well, the division.
So I think,
I mean, the division is terrible.
It's a huge step up. And every caller, by the way, who has ripped them has said, well, it's still better than Jason Garrett. And I do think that the callers have a point. Like Jerry Jones, there are some organizational problems where there seems to be sort of, I don't know what it is, a lack of consistency, a lack of
whatever
Bill Belichick does right. And he always stresses situational football. That's not happening in Dallas.
Yes.
I think McCarthy took a step in the right direction. I can't believe I'm standing up for Mike McCarthy, but someone's got it.
Yeah, you're on an island. Don's in Harrisburg. Don, who are you blaming today?
I would like to give everybody credit, top to bottom, for Dallas.
Credit. We'll put that in air quotes.
Mike McCarthy to Dak.
Why?
As a hater of the Dallas Cowboys, I love it. As a fan of pro football, I think Jerry Jones is great for the NFL, but also that he can't get it out of his own way.
Yeah. You're right about that. Don, thanks for the call.
Is there any other team in pro sports, maybe the Steinbrenner Yankees, where an owner is so identified? We're talking about a botched botch snap. It's stuck in my head now. Botch snap. We're talking about a botch play, and everyone's blaming the owner. Can you imagine? Can you imagine any other team, maybe except George Steinbrenner's Yankees, where like the minuscule plays come back to the owner?
I was going to say Mark Cuban, but they don't really come back on Cuban like that.
Not like that, but Cuban will get after the officials like nobody else. But it's funny that they're both Dallas owners. I'm not sure there's anyone who has a 15-minute press conference in the locker room like Jerry Jones.
Jerry courts it, you know, like Cuban sitting courtside for all of the games. And I know other owners do too. Dolan does that in New York and others. But if you're going to be the one who like gives the final word, because the thing is usually about Jerry, when he talks post game, and I've been around for like a handful of those, maybe five over the years, but like, you know, he goes into the locker room and does the press conference, just not like, it's not the podium, it's just surrounded by reporters. But if, correct me if I'm wrong, it's usually after everyone has spoken. Like, it's after Mike McCarthy, it would be after the players usually. And so it's like, he always gets the final word.
Yeah, I think you're right. But the interesting thing is he's incredibly accessible for an owner. Like, there's nobody who's like keeping people away. Like,
what
everyone
other owner
crowds
does
right
a weekly
him.
Radio hit?
Oh, I can't think of any.
Like, it's pulling teeth to get owners on the radio in New York. I know that for sure.
Who are the two owners in New York when you were at WFAN? It was
we interviewed John Mara once.
Once the whole
one
time?
One time, John Mara. And
did the Johnson, anyone from the Johnson?
Steve Cohen, the new owner of the Mets, came on once.
Woody Johnson from the Jets ever come on, or his brother?
No. Nope.
Yeah, I've heard them talk. I'm trying to think around.
And Hal Steinbrenner never came on The Fan.
Jeffrey Lurie in my hometown does some interviews for the Eagles. You know, the guys do interviews, but nobody sits there and talks about football
not
like
weekly.
That. And also, they don't talk about football in the same way that Jerry does. You know, and Jerry is the GM too. So it's a unique situation. But if this is a case where basically this all comes down to Jerry Jones not creating a structure where teams can be accountable and have discipline, is anything ever going to change?
Well, I don't know. But going from one team that has an overzealous owner to the only team in football that technically does not have an owner, and that is the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, we're looking ahead to this weekend, and we have yet to see the playoff debut, you know, this year of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They were on the bye week last week. And, you know, I was thinking about it, like, you know, for a guy like Rodgers, we talk about who's feeling pressure going into these games. And we've talked a lot about, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and like sort of what's proving, you know, who's proving what to whom in these young quarterbacks. But, you know, Brady, his legacy has already been set in stone. You know, he's had three Hall of Fame careers on top of each other. Seriously, he's had a Hall of Fame career since he turned 40. Like, it's wild. But with Aaron Rodgers, like, man, if there was ever a time when a guy who uses any perceived slight, outside noise, even though they claim not to pay attention to it, or, you know, the idea of feeling disrespected or any of that, if there's ever a time when a quarterback who gets off on having a chip on their shoulder, I mean, this is all setting up here for Aaron Rodgers. Like, if that's the fuel that really drives somebody, and I know there's probably a lot of motivators for someone who's as talented as Rodgers, but if even like the extra boost from feeling like the world's against you, if you're one of those types of athletes, I mean, get ready here, because Aaron Rodgers is about to blow through these playoffs considering the type of season he's
had.
Well,
yeah. I mean, remember Hub Arkish, a reporter, left him off his MVP ballot, called him Aaron Rodgers the biggest jerk in the league. Then Rodgers like, I don't care what people say, but that guy's a bum. You know, he clearly does care. You know, the greats do this, though. Tom Brady, you know, you just said three Hall of Fame careers. I just watched Man in the Arena. I can't stop talking about it. That dude acts like he just got benched at Michigan still. He's got this anger inside that never goes away.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just a motivational tool or it's legit. Rodgers definitely has that. But didn't he have it last year? Because he was mad about Jordan Love, so he responded with an MVP season. But then it didn't really work in the playoffs. So is that enough to propel the Packers all the way?
I mean, I think it's got to be taken into consideration here. Because, you know, if say if Nick Bosa and if Fred Warner, say they're ready to go.
Yeah.
And say the best defenders for the San Francisco 49ers are 100%. Okay, perfect world. They're 100%. You're not telling me there's not part of you that thinks that San Francisco could go into Green Bay and do what they did 2 years ago, which is just lean on the run game, control the clock. Jimmy G does just enough. And I know that game was in San Francisco and not in like frigid Lambeau, but still, like, there's not part of you that thinks the 49ers could win this game. the part that like I'm really weighting this towards Rodgers is like this really massive bleep you factor. There's not a stat I can point to. There's not a Pro Football Reference page that I'm going to cite here. I'm not going to go nerdy. I just think that Rodgers has got like all this sort of pent up, like you guys hate me or you guys, you know, are unfairly criticizing me, whether it's about the immunized versus the vaccine and all of that, whether it's about, you know, last year, what happened in the NFC Championship game, you know, the fact that, you know, he and LaFleur weren't on the same page about how many downs they were going to have, you know, before LaFleur said kick the field goal and Rodgers wanted to go for it on fourth and goal. I mean, all of that stuff, 10 years since he's won a Super Bowl. Like, to me, this all has to be factored in.
Yeah, I mean, the way you say it, I feel like Rodgers is going to be shot out of a cannon.
Right?
I was picking the Packers already, but I think you just really sealed the deal for me.
Well, now you can go Packers and, like, you want to go against the spread, you want to go over-under, you want to go, you know...
I think
player
too,
props.
I'd kind of forgotten some of the things that had happened this year. You know, I still think he's mad about Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. I think he's still mad at the front office. I think he's a little bit mad he didn't get Jeopardy. I think all of this, like, I feel like,
really?
Oh, I think he wanted Jeopardy. I think he wanted to do that part time. That might sound hot, but I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers is just a vendetta generator. And
yes,
this year, more than ever, I completely agree.
Remember,
man,
he was John Wick for Halloween?
Perfect.
It all plays in.
Yeah, this season has been setting up for Aaron Rodgers. Now, quick question, though. Can Aaron Rodgers, is he the kind of player that plays better when all this is going on, all this emotion, all this anger? Is he a guy who you don't want to see when he's angry?
Yeah, I think so. Was that like the Hulk a reference? You wouldn't like me when
you
I'm angry?
Like, yeah, you wouldn't like me. You don't want to play Aaron Rodgers when he's angry. I think he's always angry, in a way, on the field. I mean, he pretends to be cool and laid back, California. But, yeah, this is... If you're
San
Francisco,
I think all that Zen stuff is BS.
I do think, too, that revenge factor from the last time they played in that title game, I think Green Bay's kind of been waiting for this game. Kind of reminded me of when your Bills played Kansas City earlier this season. It's like they've been waiting for this game for a couple years. I think they're fired up.
Very, very interesting. Want to hear what you think. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Is that how it's shaping up to you with Aaron Rodgers? It just... There's something about this, again, I could throw 1,000 numbers in your face. This has nothing to do with that. This has everything to do with Rodgers and just having, like, all of the ammunition in the world to just double middle fingers the entire NFL. And I also think there's part of this that is a last dance sort of, hey, you drafted my successor. I went out and won an MVP last year. I'm probably going to win another one this year. Maybe I'm going to win the Super Bowl, too. And then I'm going to say and turn around to the front office and say, how you like me now? And I think that there's part of him that would revel in that.
That'd be amazing. And then he's coming back next year because he wants to play in the NFC North with the Bears, Lions, and Vikings because he's not dumb.
We'll get more into that. 855-212-4CBS. It's Maggie and Perloff hanging out with you on a Thursday.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Talking a lot of football here. Now, what is the rule here, Maggie? It's our last day to assign blame for the botched play at the end of the Cowboys 49ers game.
Yeah, this is it. After today, you got to pick a side here. You got to pick a side on who to blame, and then we're just going to end it because this story has to end. You know, you can't just be wishy-washy here. McCarthy, Dak, the official that ran in from the side. You got to pick a side here right now.
Yeah, give us a call, 855-4CBS, and weigh in on this, although you know that the calls are
missed a couple numbers there. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Yeah, well, if it's a local call, if you're... I don't know how this works.
You went to an Ivy League school. That's what makes this even funnier.
And that's why you're so good at doing that stuff. Give us a call.
Just a little peek behind the curtain here. It's up on the wall.
And by,
I don't like have it memorized. It's up on the wall.
I also did the wrong read for the wrong segment coming in. But these are details. We woke up early.
You're operating like a Mike McCarthy offense.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, I'm Dak Prescott right now. We woke up early to do a photo shoot today. And it's amazing that we haven't screwed up more. But I will try and make up for that. So, we're talking a lot about the Cowboys. Let's move ahead to this weekend, the big football matchup.
Which one?
The Los Angeles Rams facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, the big game.
Some people are painting this as a revenge game. Sean McVay, of course, lost to Tom Brady when he was the Patriots quarterback, 13-3.
In the Super Bowl.
Ugly game. I don't see this as a revenge game at all.
Wow. Because Brady's on a different team or because Sean McVay doesn't care that he lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
It's like that Super Bowl never happened. First of all, Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams should not have been there. They got an incredible lucky call against the Saints.
That's true.
Then they didn't show up. It wasn't really a Sean McVay team. They lost 13-3. Their offense did nothing. Jared Goff got destroyed. Goff
is
gone.
So he gets a total pass because he lost in the Super Bowl? That's weird.
I'm not saying he got a pass. I don't feel like it's not like a coach rivalry where Belichick and Tony Dungy went at it for years and the Colts and the Patriots hated each other. Eventually, the Colts accused the Patriots of cheating. I don't think there's any kind of that animosity between Sean McVay and Tom Brady. There's no like grudge match factor.
Okay,
here.
Wait. So yesterday you had the very flaming hot take that Patrick Mahomes is never going to win another Super Bowl.
That's exactly
something like
what I
that.
Oh,
it was something like the. Dude, along is there those audio? Lines.
I just said I wouldn't be surprised if he was a one Super Bowl winner like Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. When he won the first one, I was like, he's going to win five Super Bowls, and I'm like, that's not how the NFL works.
Right.
It doesn't matter how great you are; it's very hard
it's
to win.
It's very hard repeat. To win. Okay, so would you apply the same thing to Sean McVay? Because remember, he got to that Super Bowl and it was boy genius. And, you know, everyone who had ever met him was getting a head coaching job. And he's the new coaching tree, even though he's actually from a Shanahan coaching tree, whatever. And his grandfather was, you know, a long time in the NFL. So he's got a lot of roots. But do you think that McVay was a one appearance and done? Like, do you apply the same standard to a young head coach that you do to a young quarterback?
No.
Who has early success?
No, I don't. And I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Mahomes made the Super Bowl this year. I'm not saying it's done. He's only going to win one. I think he could definitely win another one. But the thing with Sean McVay, and this Tom Brady grudge match, Sean McVay is not really coaching against Tom Brady.
So he's not going to Tampa?
He is going to Tampa. And Sean McVay, all he cares about is the offense, in my mind. He is famous. He knows every play he's ever called. He is scheming. He's spending all night. He has given that defense to Raheem Morris. And by the way, I could coach that defense. Aaron Donald, go get Tom Brady. I do not think this is a Sean McVay, Tom Brady matchup. And this quote that Sean McVay had yesterday, that I respect Tom Brady, but I'm not scared of Tom Brady.
Oh, wait, we have that. Why don't we play the audio? Let's listen to Sean McVay.
Yeah. Does that sound like a grudge match to you?
No, it sounds like a lot of coach speak.
Yeah. And also, Sean McVay is, he's more, in my mind, like one of these scheme heavy offensive guys. He's not like a rah rah, let's go kill Tom Brady guy. He's not Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan would be secretly saying, I'm gonna chop Tom Brady's head off. This is not what Sean McVay.
But not fear.
That's honestly like Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan are like, kill the head of the dragon. That was, they said it all the time. Kill the quarterback and the rest of the team will follow. Sean McVay, to me, it's more of a new age thing. He's focused on the offense. I don't even see like a rematch of the Super Bowl. It doesn't feel like that at all. I feel like the storyline is forced.
I think that you're underestimating just because maybe he doesn't talk like a Rex Ryan coach or a rah-rah coach, or maybe just because, you know, he approaches it a little differently, that these guys aren't like killers. You know, like, I think you kind of have to be, don't you? Like, we just talked about Brady deep inside, you know, and it's not even deep, like, I'm pretty close to the surface, actually. He's got this, like, bubbling sort of, you know, the competitive nature. If you don't have that as a head coach, wouldn't you just get so burnt out? You'd never even make it to the top. You wouldn't even be able to put in those long hours and sacrifice the way you have to be a football coach in the NFL if you don't feel that burning competitiveness.
No, he has burning competitiveness, but he doesn't have that rah-rah factor. The new style of coach is this intellectual, cerebral, nerdy analytics guy. And Sean McVay is there.
Yeah, but it's a nerd that wants to kick your ass.
There has to
be that part of it.
But he's also a guy who can recite every play that has ever been run in the history of the NFL. He's an incredible scheme guy. And I think there's a big difference between the Rex Ryan type of coach who's like, go out and kill the quarterback. Let's get him. And Sean McVay might do that, but I feel like he's more Zach Taylor. Do you think like he's like, let's go kill somebody in Cincinnati? Well, Matt LaFleur, have you ever heard him yell at anybody? No, I think it's a completely different style.
I think that what you're getting caught up in, though, is that for Rex and for some of those other coaches, that's just the theater of knowing sort of what gets your team, you know, excited and ready to go. You know, I think that's like the theater of when Rex Ryan comes to New York and says, I'm not here to kiss Belichick's rings. You know, that's to create attention, create buzz, maybe put some of the, you know, attention on himself as opposed to the team. Like there's like a reason behind it. Like when I saw Rex Ryan, and actually Brady said this on the Manning Cast when he was a guest of Peyton and Eli's, when they asked him what's the tougher defense when it's someone that you know exactly what it's going to be every time, or someone that has this more like flexible kind of, you know, defense where you're never sure what you're going to get. And he quoted Rex Ryan's defense as one of the toughest that he's ever played against. So like, I think just because he's a rah-rah coach doesn't mean that he also wasn't scheme and nerdy to a certain extent, like, but there was just also that bravado that I think it was just was a lot of theater to try to get his players riled up.
So you know, I'm from Philadelphia, and I grew up watching
Buddy Ryan. Yeah.
Buddy Ryan is a dude who put a bounty on the opposing kicker for real in real life. He came from a family where killing the quarterback was a real thing. I don't think that was theater.
Well, but the thing is, now you just can't do something like that.
Well, and Rex Ryan's not coaching right now.
Right, and Greg Williams isn't coaching right now, and all of these notorious guys who would do that. But just because, like, I think that you're underestimating the new nerd coach, the McVays, the Zach Taylors, whatever you want, and what the competitive level. They're not out there trying to win a chess match. I mean, well, it is like a chess match.
No, but that is, it is a chess match.
But I think that, yes, that a chess match, I meant like the decorum of chess. Like, I think that there will always be an element to the NFL and to professional sports that's a little more like red meat, raw, like, you know, there's always that little bit to it. And maybe it's not to the extent of Buddy Ryan, but there is that part of it that I think that is primal. Brady talks about it all the time.
Little cute Sean McVay with the hair gel. You tell me Zach Taylor had to show his ID to get into his bar to give the game ball.
I know it's the guy like you 12. Never see coming.
I think it's. I hate to say it. I think the coaching is closer to the computer coach now. They're doing a lot. And by the way, the analytics departments are telling the coaches what to do. There's been a shift. It's like the NBA a little bit. I'm sorry, that old school coach does not exist anymore.
I think they're just more hybrids, but you're not seeing.
I know what you mean.
You're not
right.
Seeing the screams because they're not. That's not the outward persona that they want
to. But you do have to admit, it's a little hard to picture Bengals coach Zach Taylor getting all Rex Ryan-y up in this house.
You want to know it's the hardest one for me to imagine getting like losing their mind. Frank Reich, that's a nice guy.
Frank Reich looks a little bit like me. He's better looking than me, but I've been compared to Frank Reich. No, Frank Reich is not a guy who's...
I might be wrong. Like, he could be a screamer and a yeller. I would be shocked.
Yeah, I think the nice guy coaches, the Sean McVay tree, everyone wants to hire the next Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur now. So I don't know. I see what you're saying. They're competitive, but they are no Rex Ryans.
Very interesting. 855-212-4CBS. We see you guys on the phones. We're going to get to you in a minute because we've declared today is the final day where you can place blame on somebody from the Cowboys for what happened at the end of the game. Today, it's it. Boom. And then it's done. Coming up next, we are going to play a little quarterback roulette. We've hit the bottom of the hour. It's time for a CBS Sports Update with Rich Ackerman.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maggie and Perloff, hanging out with you on this Thursday. We've decided today's blame day. Not we're blaming anybody new. We're deciding today, and today's it. Who do you blame for the botch play at the end of the Cowboys 49ers game? And then that's it. Speak now or forever hold your peace, and then we're going to be moving on to the divisional round. So if you want to get in on this action, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Gerard is in Pennsylvania. Gerard, how are you?
Oh, fine, Maggie. How are you?
We're doing great, man. What's on your mind?
I'm a first-time caller, and thank you for taking the call. When I call, should I address Andrew as Andrew or as Perloff?
I mean, he's got a lot of names. You can air, some you can't.
Yeah, you call me Andrew, Perloff, McLovin, Pearl, Andy. Go ahead, whatever you want.
All right, Pearl. I was going to comment about Aaron Rodgers, but then you folks were talking about McVay. I just think McVay's just this flavor of the week coach that when he goes up against these experienced coaches like a Belichick, like we saw in the Super Bowl, or maybe Arians this week, or a Peyton in New Orleans, he gets demolished. You know, because I just don't think he has the character. I mean, I guess he has the character, but just not the moxie. Like the running on the field stuff a few weeks ago. That's Pop Warner stuff when the guy scored the touchdown in the Rams game.
He was so excited he ran out on the field. I thought, doesn't he have a get-back guy? Where was that guy?
Oh, right, who holds his thing.
Yeah, that guy's pulling down like six figures just to do the get-back thing, and he was nowhere to be found.
I think Gerard's exactly right. He's a scheme guy. These fancy scheme guys will draw plays that win regular season games, but when it comes to playoffs, there's something else you need out of your coach.
I don't see at this point, though, like McVay as a flavor of the month. I mean, if you go to a Super Bowl, haven't you proven it? Like, you belong in this league?
Well, remember, okay, he got to the Super Bowl. All his assistants got hired. Remember all the media criticism saying, oh, now we have all these Sean McVay, mini Sean McVays around there. That's not going to work. They all struggled last year. Mm-hmm. You know, Zach Taylor was bad in Cincinnati. I think Matt LaFleur originally didn't jive with Aaron Rodgers. Everyone went away from it. Then they all got great this year. Now we want to hire a bunch more Sean McVays. No, I think that's a really good point. I kind of think our last argument about Rex Ryan versus Sean McVay, old school type, rah-rah type versus more schematic, computerized type. I just feel like the offensive coaches, the stereotype that a really offensive heavy coach may be lacking something. Like it goes, you know, Don Coryell in San Diego many, many years ago. Andy Reid for a long time was a West Coast guy who's like, oh, he's an incredible scheme guy, but he doesn't win a Super Bowl. It took him forever to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
So I feel like it's like kind of an offense versus defense thing.
You think that this is going to be a referendum on what? Because Bruce Arians is also an offensive coach.
But he's not one of these new age Sean McVay type of coaches.
See,
he's old school. He's like drop back and throw the ball long. Well, I think they're doing something different here.
He's like a old school, you know, having a cocktail party out of the back of the trunk after the game.
He just slugged a guy in the head in the middle of the
field. He got fined $50,000 for it.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because while I was focusing on whether or not this felt like, you know, a Sean McVay, Tom Brady kind of rematch thing from the Super Bowl, I think that maybe our caller there is right. Maybe this is this more of a referendum on like old school versus new school coaching. I want to think about that a little bit more. Let's go to Dennis. He's in Texas. Dennis, let's play the blame game. Who you got? And then forever hold your peace.
Yeah, since it's the last day to comment, number one, I appreciate McLovin taking up for my Cowboys, but you know, McCarthy left Green Bay for a reason, and the problem, one of the problem with the Cowboys is they need a general manager not named Jones. You know, 96 was a very good year, and if it wasn't for four names, Jerry wouldn't be nothing. Aikman, Smith, Irvin, and yes, Johnson. So, you know, McCarthy tends to panic in pressure situations. And from the national audience, Maggie, we appreciate you putting up with McLovin. I'll hang up.
Hey, I'm doing the Lord's work over here, Dennis.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy, especially when people start calling him Mr. Perloff. He's getting him cappuccinos like at the photo shoot today. It's going to his head. I'm really carrying a heavy load here.
I should have hit him with the Emmett Smith was a system running back take there.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have appreciated that take.
Right.
It was funny, too. He's like, what do you say? There's a reason why McCarthy left to Green Bay. Like, yeah, because he got fired.
Yeah. He also, by the way, did call Jerry Jones Jones. You know, I think maybe that's a Texas thing.
All right,
let's get into these off-season quarterback moves,
oh,
Maggie.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we're going to try something new today, and we're calling it quarterback roulette. Well, it's actually our quarterback roulette 1.0. So everyone has their mock drafts that came out recently. And it's always the 1.0 version. So we thought, why don't we apply that to something that we're going to be talking about probably a couple times throughout the course of the next couple months, and that is the quarterback roulette. Where are these quarterbacks going to end up? Now, here's the deal. Because it's the 1.0 version, we've decided we only get 1 minute to talk about each situation.
Fair.
1.0, you get 1 minute. Maybe when we do a 2.0, maybe we'll get 2 minutes then. I don't know. I mean, I don't make the rules around here. Maybe
yeah,
I do.
You kind of do. We kind of do.
It's a collab.
More you.
Quarterback carousel 1.0. Let's get it going. And our very first quarterback, and we get exactly 1 minute to talk about them, is Aaron Rodgers. Perloff, what do you got?
Aaron Rodgers will be back in Green Bay. Is that how we're doing this?
Where yeah. I should have set you up. Will he be back in Green Bay?
Aaron Rodgers will be back in Green Bay. I mentioned earlier in the show, he's no dummy. In fact, he's incredibly smart. Look how bad that division's shaping up. Chicago's a mess. Minnesota just fired their coach. They're a mess. The Lions are the Lions. Also, have you noticed all the nice things Aaron Rodgers has said about the front office? Kumbaya, they're back together. I think this is the best place for him to land.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is gone if they win the Super Bowl. I think that he gets like the ultimate mic drop. I'm just going to leave after I win another Super Bowl. There's just been too much, I think, you know, they're covering it up a little bit, and everyone's playing nicely now because why not? They're winning. They're the number one seed in the NFC. Everyone's saying the right things now, but wait until the offseason comes. I think there's some deep-seated, deep-rooted things there. So
also,
I think
he's got Devontae Adams. He's got a great running attack. This is a very talented team. The defense is better. There's no better situation.
All right, that was Aaron Rodgers. How about Russell Wilson? Is he going to be in Seattle next year? Yes or no? To me, this is an easy no. Russell Wilson, I think it's already even starting to sort of leak out a little bit. The fact that Pete Carroll and John Schneider are already going to be back in Seattle. These have gotten multiple votes of confidence. They have ironclad contracts that keep them in Seattle for several more years. They're all coming back. And I think Russell Wilson is going to be gone. It started last year on the Dan Patrick Show when he said he wasn't happy and said he would approve a trade, or it was reported that he would have waived his no trade clause. I think we're going to see even more of that. The question for me is, has the, you know, the trade value for Russell gone down at all, considering he's coming off of a bad year, although granted he was injured and his thumb was injured for most of it.
Yeah, that was a tough injury, that hand injury. And you saw the production before and after. I say he's out as well. I think he lands in the NFC East. I know the Giants doesn't make sense from a talent perspective.
You can finish your thought.
Also, the Eagles, obviously, with all those draft picks, if they want Russell Wilson, I think that's a team who could have him.
Okay, so let's move on to Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo gets 1 minute on the quarterback roulette. Is he staying in San Francisco or not?
Jimmy G is gone. Now, he's actually playing well right now, which increases his trade value. This team obviously wants to go with number three overall pick, Trey Lance, and I think they should go with Trey Lance because we've seen the good play from Jimmy G, and we've seen the limitations of Jimmy G. Now, I have him as a salary at $25 million base next year. That's not that bad. If you're going to trade for him, we mentioned the Giants, the Steelers, the Saints. There are a lot of teams who might be interested in him. Feels like a perfect trade situation for San Francisco. Probably get a first rounder. He's out of there.
I also think that Jimmy is gone, but here's what I can't get out of my head. What if they win in Lambeau? I mean, doesn't just that win change the equation even a little bit? I know that the 49ers have, you know, invested a lot in Trey Lance. We saw him for basically a half, a little bit more this year, and he was fine, but it was against the Houston Texans. I don't know.
Well, the Chargers moved on from Drew Brees, even though he won. When they drafted Philip Rivers, you can't waste a top 10 pick, top three pick.
Let's move on. We're not wasting. All right. Well, we only get a minute, so we got to move on. That's the rules that maybe I made up and maybe I didn't. Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, what do you think, Maggie?
Is he staying in Miami or not? I think Tua will stay in Miami, but will not be the starter next year. I think they will still be on the roster, but not a starter. I think that Miami, I mean, clearly there's a lot going on in Miami right now. You know, we got one story after the next about whose fault it was that the team didn't make the playoffs this year, and Brian Flores and Chris Greer and Stephen Ross, and this is just what a soap opera. All that to say, I think Stephen Ross wants to make a play for Deshaun Watson. I still think that's on the table. Does Tua even have to go back in that package? I don't know, but I think they're looking to upgrade, no doubt.
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, there was a report that the Dolphins may be out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. I think they get back in it, or someone else, a bridge quarterback. I like what you're saying. Tua did not deliver.
Yeah. I left you no time.
No, and I agree. But I agree with everything you said.
And Deshaun Watson's got to get a lot ironed out here before we can just talk about him as a quarterback. And that's it. Okay, here's one. We're playing quarterback roulette. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins got 1 year left on his deal, but there's been major regime change in Minnesota. Both their general manager and their head coach were both fired a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the money is a problem for Kirk Cousins. If you want to get rid of him, I believe he's due about $35 million next year. No one's really going to trade for that, I don't think. Although, you know, he's a Shanahan quarterback from that Shanahan school. Maybe someone wants him. I don't know who the coach is, but I think they're stuck with Kirk Cousins.
I think that he ends up becoming, now in the last year of his deal, the bridge guy to the next guy.
So you draft a guy, maybe?
Maybe you draft a guy.
Kellen Mond, I think, is there from Texas A&M.
We know how highly Mike Zimmer thought of Kellen Mond.
Yeah, maybe you draft another guy. I think that's a better point. Maybe get a guy in the second round and build around him.
You know what's funny about the Kirk Cousins? Remember when he got that contract, which was the 3 years, the fully guaranteed, the $90 million fully guaranteed?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to become a really big pattern, like that was going to become something, and it really never did.
Yeah, but those guys get bonuses of $90 million. I feel like...
No, you guys are still getting paid, but yeah, that fully, it's just the fully guaranteed, this is what the contract is. I thought that was going to catch on a little bit. It never did.
Right, right. But people anyway, did get $90 million bonuses. All right, who's
this
our...
This is where I'm a nerd.
Who's next?
The next one is Carson Wentz.
Oh, can I start this one?
Yeah.
He gone.
Yeah, he gone.
He is going to get cut in March to save money. I don't know. I have a strong feeling that Indianapolis, based on the quotes from GM Chris Ballard, the owner, everybody, basically they're like, we're evaluating the quarterback position. If they had any confidence in him, they would speak in a different tone.
Yeah.
I think they're going to move on because they have a Super Bowl roster where inconsistent play quarterback is the big problem.
I think they're the sleeper team, you know, to look out for in terms of making a play for a quarterback because they do have a good offensive line. They do have a good run game. They play in a dome. They do have a good defense. I think people like playing for Frank Reich. They have a lot of appealing things. They don't have a first round pick because they traded to the Eagles for Carson Wentz, but I think they have, that's a sneaky, like very appealing place to play.
Oh my gosh, that line is amazing. Quentin Nelson, yeah. I would want to play there. And the money, just in, if they come in March, they're going to save so much cap space. I think that is going to be the key motivating factor.
All right. Well, we can probably hit the buzzer because I don't think we have much more to say about Wentz because they basically came out and said, you know, evaluating the situation.
Question.
Yeah.
A rules question.
Yeah.
So we did quarterback carousel 1.0. Do we get to add?
We still have one more.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Who?
Your boy, Jalen Hurts.
See, to me, okay, can I start on this one?
Yeah, you can.
He doesn't even
it.
Belong on here. He's 23. He's an alternate to the Pro Bowler. He led a team that was terrible last year to playoffs this year. Why is he on everybody's quarterback carousel? Jalen Hurts played great. He had a terrible playoff game against Tom Brady and the Bucs. He lost against one of the great teams, the defending Super Bowl champions. There's no way that they shouldn't be happy with Jalen Hurts. And my stupid city of Philadelphia can't just be excited about a young quarterback. They have to call for the backup. But that's what we always do.
Yeah. I mean, Gardner Minshew did look pretty good in that game against the Jets.
Oh, stop.
Anyway, the only thing about Jalen Hurts, and I think he's super talented, it's just whatever Howie Roseman says, I don't know. You got three first-round picks, they're burning a hole in your pocket, you know?
That darn Russell Wilson is sitting out there.
They're ahead of schedule. They made the playoffs. And I think that's about it. Sorry, you had a question. You can play at the buzzer.
Okay. So this is 1.0. Do we get to add other quarterbacks to the list? Is Matt Ryan ever going to be in play here? Is Jared Goff ever going to be in play here?
2.0 is going to be a totally different list.
When you look at just the general landscape, and I know we're running out of time, do you think it's going to be one of those off seasons where we're going to see like 15 teams change quarterbacks?
Well, how many teams have a bona fide starter that's unassailable?
God, it's
maybe half the league. That's
about
it.
Half the league. You know, it was like that last year too, where there was like 18 guys who could be on the move. A lot of them ended up staying. But then again, if Aaron Rodgers stays and Russell Wilson stays and Baker Mayfield stays, it'll be a lot less exciting.
We can only hope for excitement. That's what I'm rooting for.
I'm not going to stop yelling for Jalen Hurts, by the way.
Yeah, I can tell you're fired up by that. Coming up next, one of the big mysteries of the NFL is solved. Does the NFL have a unicorn in their midst? The best player that nobody's talking about? That's what's coming your way next. It's Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home solutions that fit your life. Rocket Cash.
Maggie and Perloff, hanging out with you on this Thursday. We've decided today's blame day. Not we're blaming anybody new. We're deciding today, and today's it. Who do you blame for the botch play at the end of the Cowboys 49ers game, and then that's it? Speak now or forever hold your peace, and then we're going to be moving on to the divisional round. So if you want to get in on this action, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Gerard is in Pennsylvania. Gerard, how are you?
Oh, fine, Maggie. How are you?
We're doing great, man. What's on your mind?
I'm a first-time caller, and thank you for taking the call. When I call, should I address Andrew as Andrew or as Perloff?
I mean, wow. He's got a lot of names. You can air, some you can't.
Yeah, you call me Andrew, Perloff, McLovin, Pearl, Andy. Go ahead, whatever you want.
All right, Pearl. I was going to comment about Aaron Rodgers, but then you folks were talking about McVay. I just think McVay's just this flavor of the week coach that when he goes up against these experienced coaches, like a Belichick, like we saw in the Super Bowl, or maybe Arians this week, or you know, a Peyton in New Orleans, he gets demolished, you know, because I just don't think he has the character. I mean, I guess he has the character, but just not the moxie. Like the running on the field stuff a few weeks ago. That's Pop Warner stuff when the guy scored the touchdown in the Rams game.
He was so excited he ran out on the field. I thought, doesn't he have a get-back guy? Where was that guy?
Oh, right, who holds his thing.
Yeah, that guy's pulling down like six figures just to do the get-back thing, and he was nowhere to be found.
I think Gerard's exactly right. He's a scheme guy. These fancy scheme guys will draw plays that win regular season games, but when it comes to playoffs, there's something else you need out of your coach.
I don't see at this point, though, like McVay as a flavor of the month. I mean, if you go to a Super Bowl, haven't you proven it? Like, you belong in this league?
Well, remember, okay, he got to the Super Bowl. All his assistants got hired. Remember all the media criticism saying, oh, now we have all these Sean McVay, mini Sean McVays around there. That's not going to work. They all struggled last year. Mm-hmm. You know, Zach Taylor was bad in Cincinnati. I think Matt LaFleur originally didn't jive with Aaron Rodgers. Everyone went away from it. Then they all got great this year. Now we want to hire a bunch more Sean McVays. No, I think that's a really good point. I kind of think our last argument about Rex Ryan versus Sean McVay, old school type, rah-rah type versus more schematic, computerized type. I just feel like the offensive coaches, the stereotype that a really offensive heavy coach may be lacking something. Like it goes, you know, Don Coryell in San Diego many, many years ago. Andy Reid for a long time was a West Coast guy who's like, oh, he's an incredible scheme guy, but he doesn't win a Super Bowl. It took him forever to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
So I feel like it's like kind of an offense versus defense thing.
You think that this is going to be a referendum on what? Because Bruce Arians is also an offensive coach.
But he's not one of these new age Sean McVay type of coaches. He's old school. He's like drop back and throw the ball long. Well, I think they're doing something different here.
He's like a old school, you know, having a cocktail party out of the back of the trunk after the game.
He just slugged a guy in the head in the middle of the field.
He got fined $50,000 for it.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because while I was focusing on whether or not this felt like, you know, a Sean McVay, Tom Brady kind of rematch thing from the Super Bowl, I think that maybe our caller there is right. Maybe this is this more of a referendum on like old school versus new school coaching? I want to think about that a little bit more. Let's go to Dennis. He's in Texas. Dennis, let's play the blame game. Who you got? And then forever hold your peace.
Yeah, since it's the last day to comment, number one, I appreciate McLovin taking up for my Cowboys, but you know, McCarthy left Green Bay for a reason, and the problem, one of the problem with the Cowboys is they need a general manager not named Jones. You know, 96 was a very good year, and if it wasn't for four names, Jerry wouldn't be nothing. Aikman, Smith, Irvin, and yes, Johnson. So, you know, McCarthy tends to panic in pressure situations. And from the national audience, Maggie, we appreciate you putting up with McLovin. I'll hang up.
Hey, I'm doing the Lord's work over here, Dennis.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy, especially when people start calling him Mr. Perloff. He's getting him cappuccinos like at the photo shoot today. It's going to his head. I'm really carrying a heavy load here.
I should have hit him with the Emmitt Smith was a system running back take there.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have appreciated that take.
Right.
It was funny, too. He's like, what do you say? There's a reason why McCarthy left to Green Bay. Like, yeah, because he got fired.
Yeah. He also, by the way, did call Jerry Jones Jones. You know, I think maybe that's a Texas thing.
All right,
let's get into these off-season quarterback moves, Maggie.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we're going to try something new today, and we're calling it quarterback roulette. Well, it's actually our quarterback roulette 1.0. So everyone has their mock drafts that came out recently. And it's always the 1.0 version. So we thought, why don't we apply that to something that we're going to be talking about probably a couple times throughout the course of the next couple months, and that is the quarterback roulette. Where are these quarterbacks going to end up? Now, here's the deal. Because it's the 1.0 version, we've decided we only get 1 minute to talk about each situation.
Fair.
1.0, you get 1 minute. Maybe when we do a 2.0, maybe we'll get 2 minutes then. I don't know. I mean, I don't make the rules around here. Maybe
yeah,
I do.
You kind of do. We kind of do.
It's a collab.
More you.
Quarterback carousel 1.0. Let's get it going. And our very first quarterback, and we get exactly 1 minute to talk about them, is Aaron Rodgers. Perloff, what do you got?
Aaron Rodgers will be back in Green Bay. Is that how we're doing this?
I should have set you up. Will he be back in Green Bay?
Aaron Rodgers will be back in Green Bay. I mentioned earlier in the show, he's no dummy. In fact, he's incredibly smart. Look how bad that division's shaping up. Chicago's a mess. Minnesota just fired their coach. They're a mess. The Lions are the Lions. Also, have you noticed all the nice things Aaron Rodgers has said about the front office? Kumbaya, they're back together. I think this is the best place for him to land.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is gone if they win the Super Bowl. I think that he gets like the ultimate mic drop. I'm just going to leave after I win another Super Bowl. There's just been too much. I think, you know, they're covering it up a little bit and everyone's playing nicely now because why not? They're winning. They're the number one seed in the NFC. Everyone's saying the right things now, but wait until the offseason comes. I think there's some deep-seated, deep-rooted things there. So
also,
I think
he's got Devontae Adams. He's got a great running attack. This is a very talented team. The defense is better. There's no better situation.
All right, that was Aaron Rodgers. How about Russell Wilson? Is he going to be in Seattle next year? Yes or no? To me, this is an easy no. Russell Wilson, I think it's already even starting to sort of leak out a little bit. The fact that Pete Carroll and John Schneider are already going to be back in Seattle. These have gotten multiple votes of confidence. They have ironclad contracts that keep them in Seattle for several more years. They're all coming back. And I think Russell Wilson is going to be gone. It started last year on the Dan Patrick Show when he said he wasn't happy and said he would approve a trade, or it was reported that he would have waived his no-trade clause. I think we're going to see even more of that. The question for me is, has the, you know, the trade value for Russell gone down at all, considering he's coming off of a bad year, although, granted, he was injured and his thumb was injured for most of it.
Yeah, that was a tough injury, that hand injury, and you saw the production before and after. I say he's out as well. I think he lands in the NFC East. I know the Giants doesn't make sense from a talent perspective.
You can finish your thought.
Also, the Eagles, obviously, with all those draft picks, if they want Russell Wilson, I think that's a team who could have him.
Okay, so let's move on to Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo gets 1 minute on the quarterback roulette. Is he staying in San Francisco or not?
Jimmy G is gone. Now, he's actually playing well right now, which increases his trade value. This team obviously wants to go with number three overall pick, Trey Lance, and I think they should go with Trey Lance because we've seen the good play from Jimmy G and we've seen the limitations of Jimmy G. Now, I have him as a salary at $25 million base next year. That's not that bad. If you're going to trade for him, we mentioned the Giants, the Steelers, the Saints. There are a lot of teams who might be interested in him. Feels like a perfect trade situation for San Francisco. Probably get a first rounder. He's out of there.
I also think that Jimmy is gone, but here's what I can't get out of my head. What if they win in Lambeau? I mean, doesn't just that win change the equation even a little bit? I know that the 49ers have, you know, invested a lot in Trey Lance. We saw him for basically a half, a little bit more this year, and he was fine, but it was against the Houston Texans. I don't know.
Well, the Chargers moved on from Drew Brees, even though he won. When they drafted Phillip Rivers, you can't waste a top 10 pick, top three pick.
Let's move on. We're not wasting. All right. Well, we only get a minute, so we got to move on. That's the rules that maybe I made up and maybe I didn't. Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, what do you think, Maggie?
Is he staying in Miami or not? I think Tua will stay in Miami, but will not be the starter next year. I think they will still be on the roster, but not a starter. I think that Miami, I mean, clearly there's a lot going on in Miami right now. You know, we got one story after the next about whose fault it was that the team didn't make the playoffs this year, and Brian Flores and Chris Greer and Stephen Ross. And this is just what a soap opera. All that to say, I think Stephen Ross wants to make a play for Deshaun Watson. I still think that's on the table. Does Tua even have to go back in that package? I don't know, but I think they're looking to upgrade, no doubt.
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, there was a report that the Dolphins may be out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. I think they get back in it, or someone else, a bridge quarterback. I like what you're saying. Tua did not deliver.
I left you no time.
No, and I agree. And also, but I agree with everything you said.
And Deshaun Watson's got to get a lot ironed out here before we can just talk about him as a quarterback. And that's it. Okay, here's one. We're playing quarterback roulette. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins got 1 year left on his deal, but there's been major regime change in Minnesota. Both their general manager and their head coach were both fired a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the money is a problem for Kirk Cousins. If you want to get rid of him, I believe he's due about $35 million next year. No one's really going to trade for that, I don't think. Although, you know, he's a Shanahan quarterback from that Shanahan school. Maybe someone wants him. I don't know who the coach is, but I think they're stuck with Kirk Cousins.
I think that he ends up becoming, now in the last year of his deal, the bridge guy to the next guy.
So you draft a guy, maybe?
Maybe you draft a guy.
Kellen Mond, I think, is it there from Texas A&M.
We know how highly Mike Zimmer thought of Kellen Mond.
Yeah, maybe you draft another guy. I think that's a better point. Maybe get a guy in the second round and build around him.
You know what's funny about the Kirk Cousins? Remember when he got that contract, which was the 3 years, the fully guaranteed, the $90 million fully guaranteed?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to become a really big pattern, like that was going to become something, and it really never did.
Yeah, but those guys get bonuses of $90 million. I felt like,
no, you guys are still getting paid, but yeah, that fully, it's just the fully guaranteed, this is what the contract is. I thought that was going to catch on a little bit. Never did.
Right, but people anyway did get $90 million bonuses. All right,
this is where I'm a nerd.
Who's next?
The next one is Carson Wentz.
Oh, can I start this one?
Yeah,
he gone. He is going to get cut in March to save money. I don't know. I have a strong feeling that Indianapolis, based on the quotes from GM Chris Ballard, the owner, everybody, basically they're like, we're evaluating the quarterback position. If they had any confidence in him, they would speak in a different tone.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna move on because they have a Super Bowl roster where inconsistent play quarterback is the big problem.
I think they're the sleeper team, you know, to look out for in terms of making a play for a quarterback, because they do have a good offensive line. They do have a good run game. They play in a dome. They do have a good defense. I think people like playing for Frank Reich. They have a lot of appealing things. They don't have a first round pick because they traded to the Eagles for Carson Wentz, but I think they have, that's a sneaky, like, very appealing place to play.
Oh my gosh, that line is amazing. Quentin Nelson, yeah. I would want to play there. And the money, just if they come in March, they're going to save so much cap space. I think that is going to be the key motivating factor.
All right. Well, we can probably hit the buzzer because I don't think we have much more to say about Wentz, because they basically came out and said, you know, evaluating the situation.
Question. Yeah. A rules question.
Yeah.
So we did quarterback carousel 1.0. Do we get to add?
We still have one more.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Who?
Your boy, Jalen Hurts.
See, to me, okay, can I start on this one?
Yeah, you can.
He doesn't even belong on here. He's 23. He's an alternate to the Pro Bowler. He led a team that was terrible last year to playoffs this year. Why is he on everybody's quarterback carousel? Jalen Hurts played great. He had a terrible playoff game against Tom Brady and the Bucs. He lost against one of the great teams, the defending Super Bowl champions. There's no way that they shouldn't be happy with Jalen Hurts. And my stupid city of Philadelphia can't just be excited about a young quarterback. They have to call for the backup. But that's what we always do.
Yeah. I mean, Gardner Minshew did look pretty good in that game against the Jets.
Oh, stop.
Anyway, the only thing about Jalen Hurts, and I think he's super talented, it's just whatever Howie Roseman says, I don't know. You got 3 first-round picks that are burning a hole in your pocket, you know?
That darn Russell Wilson is sitting out there.
They're ahead of schedule. They made the playoffs. And I think that's about it. Sorry, you had a question. You can play at the buzzer.
Okay. So this is 1.0. Do we get to add other quarterbacks to the list? Is Matt Ryan ever going to be in play here? Is Jared Goff ever going to be in play here?
2.0 is going to be a totally different list.
When you look at just the general landscape, and I know we're running out of time, do you think it's going to be one of those off seasons where we're going to see like 15 teams change quarterbacks?
Well, how many teams have a bona fide starter that's unassailable?
God, it's
maybe half the league. That's
about half the league. You know, it was like that last year too, where there was like 18 guys who could be on the move. A lot of them ended up staying. But then again, if Aaron Rodgers stays and Russell Wilson stays and Baker Mayfield stays, it'll be a lot less exciting.
We can only hope for excitement. That's what I'm rooting for.
I'm not going to stop yelling for Jalen Hurts, by the way.
Yeah, I can tell you're fired up by that. Coming up next, one of the big mysteries of the NFL is solved. Does the NFL have a unicorn in their midst? The best player that nobody's talking about? That's what's coming your way next. It's Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.